You're listening to the Youth Critic Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Everyone, welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I am your host, Kale Smith, and joining me with today is Gina Versa.
Hello, how's it going?
It's going good. And today we are talking about Luca Guadagnino's Suspiria.
Nice accent.
Thank you. I always love saying it that way. Suspiria.
I think that's the proper Italian pronunciation. Yeah,
it is. So before we get into Suspiria, and since we haven't done the retrospective, Gene, have you seen Dario Argento's Suspiria?
Oh man, this is too revealing, but no, I have not seen the original. It's difficult to find a copy, and I don't want to spend anything right now. So I have not as of this airing, unfortunately.
I want to swear it was on iTunes or Amazon or something for a while, but you're right. I was looking to watch the movie before watching Suspiria, and the only people that had it, like, just any copy was my Netflix DVD subscription. They were only people that had, like, a copy of it. And even then, they didn't. They sent me like an older like DVD from like the early 2000s.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so I didn't get to experience the wonderful 4K restoration that came out last year, but it still looked really good on 720p.
Yeah, I mean, I could imagine. I mean, it's a bright, colorful film.
Mm-hmm.
So it hasn't lost anything in the transfer, I would hope.
No, I don't think so. It's really a strong, very strong piece of direction, and well, just kind of diving into my thoughts. And I won't dive too much because I still plan on doing a Suspiria retrospective. We're working around it. Everybody's just kind of busy. We're just kind of busy here at the Youth Critic, as we have been all month. But my thoughts very quickly are. It's kind of a messy movie. It's doesn't all quite make sense, mm-hmm. but the movie is so well made, and the movie is so like creepy in atmosphere that I just don't want to complain too much about how nothing makes sense or how the movie started out with a serial killer killing women.
Yeah.
But by the end, it's a bunch of witches.
Yeah.
Sorry to spoil it, Gene, but that's basically what the twist is. And even
I should have seen it at some point, so.
Yeah. Well, even the score, like in the first 10 minutes, like says witches or witch. So it's like, so the score is spoiling the movie before we get to the twist.
Yeah, so it's hinting at it, I would say.
Yeah, and some of the deaths are a little, like, they're, like, if you think the death scene in Hereditary with a little girl was completely crazy and ridiculous, there's, like, two or three death scenes in Suspiria that are just illogical, don't make sense at all, that kind of thing. So, but again, it's so well made, and Jessica Harper is just perfectly cast as the big eyed, cute young girl that's just the innocence trapped in a sanctum of total evil. So yeah. It worked for me.
Okay. don't want to spoil it too much, but
yeah, I don't want to spoil too much, and then I feel, and then I'm gonna pretty much say a lot of the same things and more in the Suspiria retrospective eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. So with that, just out of the way, just so everyone knows our thoughts. Gene, what did you think of the new Suspiria?
I had really nothing to compare it to, and I went in just thinking, what's going to happen? I don't have any expectations whatsoever. Just hearing the most that is batshit insane, I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I went in with an open mind, and I certainly enjoyed it. I was very weirded out. I had no idea what was going on at times. There were things that don't make sense. And that being said, I loved it. It was wild and pretty insane. So there isn't any other film like that right now in theater. So people should definitely check it out.
Okay, so my thoughts on Suspiria are, you're right. Like, I completely understand, and you're right. There are things in Suspiria, this new one, that don't quite add up, because it's not because there's a problem with the narrative cohesion. The narrative is cohesive and it's easy to follow. Like, this isn't, some, art piece that has no flow to it at all. That's not what Guadagnino has made. It's just some of the ideas in here are so abstract that there's a lot to interpret. And that's happening in a movie where there's a lot going on it within its own narrative.
Yes, yeah, exactly. There's so much going on. It would be beneficial to see it a second time, I would imagine.
Yeah, so it's same. I'm going to rewatch the movie, and I even said, like, halfway through it, I'm going to have to rewatch it, because this is, Luca Guadagnino is, made a movie where it's rewatched, it has to be seen twice. Maybe not twice with, like, a big audience. Like, you don't probably have to see this with, like, twice with a big audience, but I would say at least see it a couple times in order to get everything. And that's not against the movie. That's nothing against the movie. It's just, again, with Suspiria, there's just a lot to unpack, because it feels like Luca Guadagnino, and I'm going to butcher the screenwriter's name, David Kajedek. I'm sorry if I butchered it. Both had a lot to say, not only in response to Argento's movie, but, they had a lot to say about the time period. They had a lot to say about what's happening currently with, people abusing power. And they just had a lot to kind of cram into this movie. And to a certain extent, I can see where it won't work with people. But for me, it pretty much worked on every corner, or in every act, everything worked.
It certainly worked for me. There was a lot of jumping off points in this movie that it kind of forces you to go with. And I was all for it. I don't know if that would work for everyone, but it certainly worked for me.
Yeah, and it is, and to be fair, it is a long and at times slow movie, but in the end, I feel like if you give it what it's worth, I think, like, if you can sit through Hereditary, and the 2-hour and 14-minute Conjuring 2, I think you can make it through this one, because the movie... Because the movie is never boring. Like, there's stuff happening in each of the 6 acts/epilogue.
Yeah, there's... I mean, that's crazy that there's a friggin' epilogue to this movie. It's it keeps going and going. It has a freaking epilogue to it after the movie ends, and it has a spoiler after credit scene, which I don't really know what that meant. Like, I had no idea what that after credit scene was supposed to say, but we could get to that later.
I mean, I have my theory, but it probably doesn't make any sense given where the movie is also set at.
Yeah.
But like I said, it before I total fanboy Suspiria, I totally get why people won't like, why people are kind of against it. I get where people are coming from. But I feel like if you're reading into the context of the movie and reading into what the film is, like, this movie is a roller coaster, and this movie is the perfect, you know, balance of artistry slash pretension. I mean, it just like, there's
a great for sure.
Yeah. There's just enough here. Cause I feel like at times, you know, I feel like at times when, especially during the A24 horror films, where directors are trying so hard to get disturbing imagery on the screen and throw it in the mix of their like psychological dramas. Cause that's really what The Witch, It Comes at Night, and Hereditary are. They're just psychological dramas that so happen to have horror elements. And I feel like at times these directors, not anything against them, but I feel like they try to mix in horror elements and don't have the imagery or the substance to back it up. Whereas I feel I know, controversial hot take. I know.
I guess so.
But with that said, though, I feel like Suspiria has disturbing imagery and has, you know, and has the, you know, disturbing context and the outlandish death scenes. And yes, there are a lot of crazy, there are quite a bit of crazy death in this movie.
Yeah, I really dug some of those deaths, actually.
Yeah. And but with that said, I felt like the movie had something to say with everything it was doing. So with that said, now that we got our thoughts on Suspiria out of the way, Dean, do you want to go into non-spoilers?
Quick spoilers.
All right. So, Gene, what was the most like shocking thing in this movie? Let's just jump around.
I would go with like the climax, because it just someone described it as a Radiohead music video, and it goes like batshit insane. Where there's all these heads exploding, and there's this Thom Yorke score just pulsating in the background, and the movie just goes off the rail. Like, completely off the rails. And I certainly very much enjoy that. That was my favorite scene, because it's just like, oh my god, this movie's insane. And I love it.
For me... And, oh, go ahead.
And just Dakota Johnson's just having this voiceover, and I don't know what the fuck any of that means. So it was just so shocking that the movie, I mean, it was going leading towards that for sure, but that scene certainly cemented the movie for me.
Okay. For me, it is also not necessarily the most shocking moment, but the biggest and most coolest, like, what the fuck moment is you're right, the ending, like, possession or like coven scene with Helena Marcos, Blanc, and Susie. They're all trying to transfer her soul, Marcos's soul, into Susie's body and make her the vessel. But then at the end, Susie, you know, pulls a fast one on everyone and is like, surprise, I'm Mother Suspirium.
This whole time.
Yeah. I was Mother Suspirium this whole time, and you're all fucked. Everyone that voted Republican, I mean Helena Marcos, is all fucked. And it is. It's crazy. Like I've never seen a Radiohead music video, but I can.
Yeah, some very interesting ones.
Okay, I would compare this to like a '90s like grunge video.
Yeah, I could certainly see that.
With the style, and then just like the just craziness of it, and I mean it's just stylistically just insane. Like I don't know what exactly is the technique they use to do the whole, you know, whipping and out of focus stuff. What was it?
I'm not too sure actually either.
I know it's like a famous filmmaking it's a technique that is used a lot, and I can't remember what it was called, and it's killing me because I still haven't been able to figure out what it is or remember what it is. But it's just really cool, even though it does awkwardly remind you of like '90s music videos and some really bad late early 2000s horror movies. But it's still really cool, and I mean the ending of Mother Suspirium basically coming into her full form with Susie, and on top of that she you know learned from Blanc and became, because the whole idea of the movie to me has always been about, this is about what we take and what we receive from our maternal figures. So that's, and to me, I feel like she kind of, took a lot from Blanc, and she took a lot of the kindness from Blanc, because Blanc, while at Blunt at times, she was more compassionate. Blanc was more compassionate than her own mother. So I feel like for her to see, you know, Blanc basically get decapitated pretty much was the reawakening.
Or did she?
Well, I say decapitated, but it's like she kind of just got half her head sliced off. But so I think that reawakened Mother Suspirium, the other personality of Mother Suspirium, into basically just going batshit insane, are Monkos and her coven. I really like the ending. I love what it means, and the epilogue itself is a really nice sentiment. Like, it's very emotional. Like, I even tweeted as much as I was surprised, like, how emotional Suspiria was, in that, you know, it gave him closure, but in a still of a twisted, fucked up way. So in that regard, it's just very well, everything about it. You know, the ending to me just simply, you know, it just works off of what the movie is. It just works off of what the film stands for. It's a perfect culmination. So are there any other moments you want to talk about from Suspiria?
What did you think of Lutz Epsendorf?
I thought he did a really good job.
He's actually killed this one.
I know, I was just playing along.
Yeah, it felt cool, but what do you think the necessity of that was?
Honestly, there's no necessity of it. I mean, I'm sure I'm sure there was a conversation at one point just to hire an old German actor. But I feel like that conversation, but I feel like that was probably something of Tilda Swinton brought up, where she was like, can I please play this character so I can, you know, can I please play that character? And Luca Guadagnino's like, well, if we can figure out how to do it, we'll do it. And sure enough, they figured out how to do it. It is a little show-offy, like I will admit, but I never once felt, oh my God, I'm watching, you know, Tilda Swinton in old man makeup. I felt like she was actually playing a really good character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt it at times that it was her, just sort of with the voice and some of the mannerisms, I would say.
But in the end, she still makes the character his own, his own. She makes that character believable.
Yeah.
So to me, like, that's fine if, you know, they want to play it as some other actor did it, but I'm just happy they figured it out. And honestly, after watching the movie, if this movie doesn't win technical awards like makeup and sound, I don't know what I don't know what I'll do, but I feel like this movie should like at least get nominated for sound and then win for makeup.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you would hope so, but Suicide Squad got a award for makeup as well.
Yep, Suicide Squad.
Instead of Star Trek Beyond.
Yep.
Which created entire races and creatures, but oh well.
Suicide Squad has more Oscars than the Avengers.
Sadly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Does the DCEU have more Oscars now than the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I don't want to know that number at all.
Okay, just checking.
It probably is, but I don't want to have that knowledge.
Oh my God. Because we are going to keep this a very short podcast, because we're all kind of busy, and we promised this would be short. Mm-hmm. Really quickly, what did you think of Thom Yorke's score? It's been highly talked about.
Yeah, I loved it. Someone was like, oh, Radiohead does a score, and it's like, oh, well, it's Thom Yorke, but it's pretty much the same. Pretty much the same as having Radiohead. They sound alike, but yeah, it was very well done. It was I think this was his first film score. It was very, put you in the mood of the movie. You felt kind of creeped out. And it really haunted you at times, as well as it made it descend into a music video. But I loved the score.
I loved it too. I think, like, I tried listening to the score again just on its own on YouTube, and it's still really good, but it felt so much better watching it with the imagery that was on screen. Like,
yeah.
And that's kind of, like, even as I was watching the end credits, it still was, like, worth sitting through the entire end credits just to listen to Suspirium. But now I'm just like a minute into Suspirium, I'm like, yeah, I'm okay, just move on. I don't know what that says about me, but I just kind of was like, it's a good score that works very well with the imagery it's accompanying.
Mm-hmm.
But outside, I'm like, okay, it's fine. It's just, it's really good moody music.
Yeah, it's in a movie, but Owen's scores certainly lend himself to moodiness.
Yeah. Is there more to say on Suspiria? I know we're not. I know we haven't talked a lot about the movie, but I wanted to get this one out. So is there any more to say about Suspiria?
The after credits, if you want to. What do you think that was about?
What was it?
What do you think the after credits were about?
Oh, my theory is that because it's the most colorful, arguably the more colorful scene in the movie, like if you look at the color temperature, it's very different from the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hinting that Mother Suspirium is opening either the school that's in the original Suspiria.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be a connection to what happens in the movie Inferno. Granted, I've not seen Inferno yet, mm-hmm. but watching Dario Argento's other movie in his Three Mothers trilogy, Mother of Tears, which is not good, not a good movie, but
okay.
Like a legitimately not good movie.
Okay.
There are reference, like you can see like a lot, there's a lot of ties in Luca Guadagnino's Suspiria to Mother of Tears. So mm-hmm. I wonder, so maybe it's something in connection to Inferno. I don't know quite yet. But I know for a fact that the color temperature was just completely different. And she was like touching a wall, like, so I was thinking maybe she's like putting up the plaque for the ballerina school that we'll see in Dario Argento's school, because keep in mind this movie is set in 1977, right around the same time when the original, you know, the time period of the original. So even though the original was taking place in Berlin, but it still looked like Italy for some reason. It's the most Italian side of Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what my theory is. What do you think it is?
Oh, I didn't have a theory. I was like, I don't know why she's looking at the camera and what she's placing on that placard. So I certainly didn't have a theory, but that was my thought. I had no idea what it was.
That's just my only theory, is that it's all going to tie back to the very first Suspiria, because, I mean, this movie already clearly is. It's taking a lot from the mythology set in the Three Mothers trilogy. Mm-hmm. But still, we have to just kind of keep in mind everything kind of takes place in that time period that they were making Suspiria and Inferno in. So... Mm-hmm. That's what my gamble is. However, we don't know if this movie will ever get a sequel or anything, because the movie has only opened to 250 theaters, and while it's doing okay for its expansion, it still like didn't hit big numbers yet.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. So, and the final thing I'll mention is, and we'll talk about it, and then we'll go into plug-in, is I have to give credit to the actresses here for doing all, for Dakota Johnson, Mia Goth, just all the work that went into this movie acting-wise was perfection.
Yeah. Everyone did such a talented job.
Mm-hmm. And I genuinely liked it. So with that, my review of Suspiria is, it's a really fun, interesting, weird, perfect balance of a artistic horror movie. And I think everyone should check it out. I don't know if it'll be the best of the year, but the more I think about it, the more I just love it more. Gene, what are your final thoughts?
Everyone should have their mind blown. This film, if they're wanting to see a unique experience in the theaters, this film is for you. So for sure, check it out.
Yep. So with that, Gene, where can the good people find you?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram, Gene9892.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at MovieKale. And you can also follow the show at The Youth Critic. And then you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHC Network. Thanks, everyone. We'll be back with you.